The Bible is the inspired Word of God, revealing the mind of God to the world. Through our diligent study and examination of its teachings, we will learn all of the things God requires of us in order to receive His blessings. We invite you now to take your Bible and study along with our speaker, Kevin Beard, as Churches of Christ present Bible Talk.
I've heard it said before that men and rivers have at least one thing in common. And that is that by following the course of least resistance, both become crooked. And I think there's a lot of truth in that statement. You think about the way the water flows, always downhill. It's never going to flow uphill. And so it's always going to follow the course of least resistance. And because of the way the land lies, that's going to make for a crooked river. When's the last time you saw a river that was absolutely straight? Well, it just doesn't happen in nature. With men, if we go through our lives constantly choosing the course of our lives based on which decision is easiest, we're going to find that it won't be very long until we find ourselves spiritually crooked, engulfed in a life of sinfulness. Why is that the case? Well, I think you probably understand as well as I do that that is the case because making right decisions is not always easy. Sometimes to choose the right thing is the easy choice to make, but not always. Many times there might be consequences that we have to face for choosing to do the right thing, or there might be other things that make it a difficult choice for us to do the right thing. But if we choose the easy way, we're many times going to be choosing the wrong way. And one wrong choice is often makes it that much easier to make another wrong choice and so on. No, we need to make sure that we follow the ways of God regardless of how easy or difficult those choices may be. The way of God is always right. It's not always easy, but it is always right. To serve God, we're going to have to obey. Really, we can sum up serving the Lord just in that very simple concept. To be what the Lord wants us to be requires faithful obedience in every aspect of our lives. God does not give us the prerogative to come along and say, well, I will choose when to obey God and when not to obey Him. And He's not going to look at our lives and say, okay, when I look at the sum total of your life, in 51% of the occasions in your life, you chose the right thing over the wrong thing, and so that's okay. Now, God expects us to obey Him always. His will reigns supreme over us. We don't have the right to come along and set aside God's will and say, now, I don't like these things, and so I won't be so concerned about obeying God on these types of circumstances, but over here, these are the things that I like, and so I'll obey God over here. That's not going to please God. We must serve the Lord and obey Him regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how easy it may or may not be for us to do that. We need to obey God even when it's hard to obey. That's what I want us to think about today. And as we look at the Bible, we see that there are so many different circumstances that we can find in life, either by looking at the examples of those who've gone before us, or by looking at the things that others have done, or the things that God expects of us, the things He commands, and so on, and see that there might be various circumstances and situations in our lives that make obeying God more difficult. But even in those times of difficulty, we must obey the Lord. Think about a number of these things with me. First of all, we must obey God when it's hard to obey because we're not in the mood. Are you always in the mood to do right? Are you always in the mood to serve God? You know, sometimes you just don't feel like doing the things that you ought to do. Well, should we let that influence our decision to do right? Well, I don't think so. You see, when we look at the things that the faithful men and women of God have done in the past, do we see that their moods, their feelings had a great impact on whether or not they did what God wanted them to do? What if Abraham, when God told him to leave his home, to leave his family, to go to a place that he'd never been before, a place that he didn't even know where he was going, a place that God would show him, what if Abraham had simply said, well, you know, I'm just not really in the mood to do that right now. It'll be an inconvenience and there'll be a lot of work involved and it's asking a great sacrifice of me and you know what? I just don't feel like doing that right now. Well, if that had happened, we wouldn't be here talking about Abraham today, would we? No, our personal feelings, our moods, our and so on should not enter into the equation when we're deciding whether or not to obey God. I think what Paul told Timothy regarding his responsibility to preach the Word is a good place for us to start with this idea. Over in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. In season and out of season. The idea behind that is when it's convenient, when it's not, when you're in the mood, when you're not, when you feel good, when you don't, when it's easy, when it's difficult. You see, we're not always going to have the best feelings in the world about doing what's right. We just might prefer to stay home. We just might prefer to do something else. Whatever it might be, we might not always feel like obeying. But what happens if we only obey God when we feel like it? Only when we're in the mood. Only when we feel spiritual, if we want to word it that way, whatever feeling spiritual might mean. I think if we only obey God when we feel like it, we're probably going to be demonstrating a lukewarm attitude comparable to the attitude displayed by the Laodiceans. And you remember, no doubt, over in Revelation 3, verse 16, when the Lord addressed that church and pointed out that they were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, but only lukewarm. And He said, because you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of My mouth. See, if I only serve God when I feel like it, when I'm in the mood, then that's a very lukewarm attitude. A little bit too much asked of me. I don't really feel very good, or there's something else going on I'd rather do. Well, I'll just put off doing what the Lord needs me to do right now, and I'll do it later, or just let somebody else do it. That's a lukewarm attitude, and the Lord will not tolerate lukewarmness among His people. Instead, when Jesus was asked to name the greatest of all the commandments over in Matthew 22, verse 37, what did He say it was? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, He said. When we love the Lord with all of our heart, and all of that that Jesus said, our feelings, our moods, and so on will not come into play when deciding whether or not to obey the Lord. So we need to obey God, even if we're not in the mood. In the second place, very similar to that, we need to obey God even when it is not convenient. Is it always convenient to obey the Lord? No, it's not. Obeying the Lord often requires sacrifice on our part. Maybe we have to give up some long-held ideas. Maybe serving the Lord will require, or result in, rather, the loss of a friendship or even a family relationship. Serving the Lord is not always going to be convenient. When Jesus pictured the judgment day, He described those that He set on His right hand as having fed Him when He was hungry, and given Him drink when He was thirsty, and clothed Him when He was naked, and visited Him when He was sick and in prison. Of course, He wasn't talking about how they did those things to Him personally, but rather how they did them to others in His name. Do you suppose it was always convenient for those people to provide food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, and clothing for the naked, and so on? Well, it's not convenient to do those things all the time. It requires sacrifice of our time and our money and our possessions. It requires getting up and leaving something that we might otherwise prefer to do to go and help someone who needs help. To go and serve the Lord often requires an inconvenience on our part. But if it's the right thing to do, then it's the right thing to do. And we need to obey God even if it means inconveniencing ourselves. We can't say, well, you know, I'll put it off till later. There will come a time when it's more convenient for me. That sounds like Felix, doesn't it? When Paul was talking with him and telling him about the gospel and serving the Lord, and Felix sent him away and he says, when I have a more convenient time, then I'll call for you. That convenient time didn't come for Felix, and it won't come for us if we're putting off serving the Lord. You see, to serve the Lord requires commitment. Jesus described the level of commitment that's required in serving Him when He said, if anyone will come after Me, let him deny himself. Deny himself, He said. You don't come first, the Lord does. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. And to take up that cross daily, Jesus said, Luke 9, verse 23. Taking up the cross refers to an act of complete self-denial. Why did someone carry a cross? Back in the first century, when the Romans used crucifixion as a means of executing criminals, why would that person carry a cross? Well, it was because he was on his way to go out to be crucified, to be executed. Why did Jesus have to carry a cross outside of Jerusalem? It's because he was going to be executed. He was carrying that cross not just to transport it from one place to another, but to take it to that place where he himself was going to be executed on that cross. When Jesus told those people of his day to take up your cross and follow me, he was telling them you're going to have to put yourself to death. You can't live for you anymore. You have to live for Christ. That level of commitment is complete and absolute. And it means that you might not always get to do what is convenient for you. Think of it this way. Many of you watching today, no doubt, are parents. And any parent understands what it means to be committed to something completely. When you bring that baby home, that first day from the hospital, oh, what a wonderful occasion that is. I remember when we brought our first child home and what a great joy it was for us to be able to bring him home. And then when we brought our second child home, I remember how excited our first child was. He was nearly 2 years old when his brother was born, and he was just so excited when his little brother was coming home. And then our third child was born, and it was equally exciting to bring him. And then our little girl was born, our fourth child, and what a joy it was to bring her home from the hospital too. But you know what? With every one of those babies, when we brought them home from the hospital, there was a lot of responsibility. And any parent knows, when you bring that little child home from the hospital, that first night, you're tired. And mom especially is tired. Think of all that she's been through over the past couple of days, if it's been a normal delivery and stay in the hospital. She's tired. In the middle of the night, you just get to sleep good, and then what happens? That baby starts crying. And that baby is awake, and he's not going to go back to sleep because he's hungry. He can't feed himself. Somebody has to get up and feed him. Somebody has to get up and change the diaper. Now, who's going to do that? Well, that baby can't do it. And it's going to fall on the responsibility is going to fall on the shoulders of those parents to take care of that child. But it's not convenient, is it? It's not convenient to have to get up in the middle of the night and fix a bottle. It's not convenient to have to get up in the middle of the night and change a diaper and to rock that baby and to feed that baby and to get him back to sleep. But your commitment to that child that is born of your love for him causes you to put your own convenience aside to do what that child needs. Well, is our commitment to the Lord to be any less than that? We serve the Lord because we love Him and we're committed to Him, and we do whatever that service requires, even if it means inconveniencing ourselves. We obey when it's hard to obey, even if it's inconvenient. In the next place, we obey God when it's hard, even if we don't understand why God wants us to do the things that we do. Has every faithful child of God always understood everything about why God was telling him to do the things that he did? Did Abraham understand everything about why God wanted him to leave his family and to go to a place that he would show him later? Did Abraham understand everything about why many years after that he told him to take his son that had been promised to him, the son through whom the promises were would be brought to Abraham and his descendants, and to take that son and offer him as a sacrifice? Abraham didn't understand all of that. He didn't understand why God was telling him to do these things, but he went and did them anyway. What about Joshua? Joshua, the successor to Abraham in leading God's people, was the one responsible for leading the campaign of the Israelites into the land of Canaan to conquer all of those cities and to drive out all of the inhabitants of the land as God had told them to do. The very first city on the list was Jericho. A big city with strong walls and gates, and they'd shut those gates and lock them up tight, and their soldiers were prepared. And God told Joshua, here's how I want you to take that city. You take the people of Israel, you take the priests and the Ark of the Covenant, and you march them around the city like a big parade. You go around that city once today and you go home. Tomorrow you get up and you do it again. The next day you get up and you do it again, and again the next day, and the next day, all the way up until the seventh day. And on that seventh day you march around the city seven times. And on that seventh time around, the priests are going to be carrying trumpets made from ram's horns, and they're going to blow those trumpets, and the men are going to shout with a great shout, and I will deliver that city into your hands. Now, Joshua, as a military leader, can't you just imagine when he began to think about those instructions from God, might scratch his head and say, I don't understand. Why does God want us to do this? How is this going to bring any benefit? What does this have anything to do with conquering a city? Now, what if in his lack of understanding of everything about why God was having him do the things that he commanded him to do, Joshua just said, you know what, I'm just not going to do this. This does not make any sense to me. We're not going to be able to overtake a city just by marching around it. I don't understand. We're going to do it a different way. God's way just does not make sense. He would not have been the faithful leader, and they would not have conquered the city of Jericho. You know what? There's people today who do not understand everything that God has given us to do. There are people who don't understand why God has commanded us to do certain things. Like being baptized. The Bible says that if we believe and are baptized, we'll be saved. The Bible says that Ananias instructed Saul of Tarsus to be baptized and wash away his sins. Baptism is the point at which our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, but not everybody understands that. Not everybody understands why God chose to do it that way. What does being baptized have to do with being saved? I just don't understand why God would say that. And a lot of people, because of that misunderstanding and that failure to realize, they choose not to do it. I don't understand why God won't let us use instrumental music in worship. It sounds good to me. And so many other people do it. I just don't understand what's wrong with it. And that's the way a lot of people approach that issue too. But the Bible says that our music in worship to God is to be singing, the kind that teaches and admonishes one another. The music we make is to be in our hearts, not on some man-made instrument. But because a lot of people don't understand why it's to be that way, they just set it aside and they say, well, you know, I think we'll do it my way instead. There's a lot of things that we might point to and see that people just fail to understand why God has chosen this way over that way. And because they don't understand the reason behind it, they choose not to do what God said to do. But to serve God and to please God, we must obey, even if we don't understand all of the reasons and motives that God had in choosing these things for us to do. Obeying God sometimes is hard for those reasons. Sometimes obeying God is hard because we have other preferences. There's other things that we would like, other things that we would prefer to do, other ways that we would prefer to serve God, other ideas. You know, whenever we begin to examine our own preferences and then compare them to what God has said, too many times we just choose to do it our way instead of God's way. I'm reminded of Naaman back in 2 Kings chapter 5, that officer in the Syrian army who was afflicted with leprosy. His wife had a young servant girl from Israel. And this young Jewish girl said that there was a man of God back in her home country who could heal her master of his leprosy. And when Naaman learned about this, he received permission from his king to go to Israel and seek out this man of God who could cure his leprosy. And eventually, after first going to the king of Israel, he found his way to the prophet that the little girl had in mind, the prophet Elisha. Now, when Naaman came to Elisha's house, he had his own ideas about what the prophet would do. But when he sent word in to the prophet, all Elisha did was to send his servant out to Naaman and give him these simple instructions. Go down to the Jordan River, dip 7 times in that river, and you'll be cleansed. Well, Naaman got angry because he said, I thought the prophet would come out and he'd wave his hand over the place and he'd do this and he'd do that. No doubt Naaman had in mind perhaps some of the pagan types of ceremonies that the idolatrous people he was familiar with might have done. And maybe he expected some kind of big showy performance. That's not what the plan was. That's not what God's way was going to be. Just go down to the Jordan River, dip 7 times, and you'll be cleansed. But because it didn't happen the way Naaman thought it would happen, he got upset. And he said, if all I had to do was dip into a river, he said, there's rivers back in Syria, back in my homeland, that I could have dipped in there, far better than any waters here in Israel. And he got mad and he decided to go back home. But Naaman's servant talked some sense into him and he said, now, if the man of God had come out and had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? But he told you to do this simple thing. Why not do what the man of God said? Naaman came to his senses and he went on down to the Jordan River, and just according to the instructions he was given, he dipped himself 7 times and he came up out of the water on that 7th time completely cured. The leprosy was gone. He finally did things God's way, even though he had to humble himself to do it. David tried to do something that he thought was good, but he did it his way instead of God's way. You see, the Ark of the Covenant had been in Philistine hands for quite some time, and when the Philistines sent it back to Israel, it stayed in the house of Abinadab for quite some time, and David was ready to bring it back to Jerusalem. Well, it was a very joyful occasion, and to celebrate the occasion, David wanted to have a big parade and have all of these instruments playing and music and dancing, and they got a brand new ox cart and these 2 oxen to pull it, and they were going to transport the Ark of the Covenant back on this cart, only that's not the way that God had instructed them to do it. The oxen came to a place in the road when they stumbled, and it appeared that the ark was going to fall off, and one of the men driving the cart reached out his hand to steady the ark, and when he did, God struck him dead. Why? Because David had chosen to disregard the instructions of God to do it his own way. David could not get past his own ideas of how to do things, and he did it his way instead of God's way, and it cost a man his life. You know, whenever we choose to do things our way instead of God's way, we're going to end up in trouble. Sometimes we might find it hard to obey God because we would rather do things our way than do things God's way. Obeying God sometimes might be hard also because we might find some embarrassment in serving the Lord. Now, let's face it, serving God is going to put us in the minority. Jesus made that plain. He said there's only a few who will find the way that leads to life. And when we're in the minority, sometimes that brings embarrassment for us. We can think about those leaders of the Jews who believed in Jesus, but because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, they would not confess Him. John 12:42 and 43. We can think about Peter, warming himself by the fire as Jesus was being put on trial in the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. But because he was embarrassed and ashamed and afraid for his life, he would not confess knowing Jesus, but instead denied him three times. We can think even about Peter on another occasion in Antioch, who, after some period of time of having full fellowship with Gentile Christians, chose to withdraw himself from them when Jewish Christians from Jerusalem came up to Antioch. Paul rebuked him to his face publicly for that. But you see, there was some embarrassment involved in all of that. Sometimes we might find ourselves in situations where obeying God will cause us some personal embarrassment. That is, we're going to be pointed out as being different. People are going to notice that we don't do the same things they do, or we don't talk the same way they talk, or we don't go to the same places they go to, or we don't believe the same things they believe. They might put some pressure on us, try to anyway. They might try to say, well, why don't you just blend in with the rest of us? Why don't you do things the way that we do them? To be embarrassed to serve the Lord is really a shameful thing. Jesus told us that whoever is ashamed of Him now, He will be ashamed of them when He comes. Well, you know, I don't want the Lord to be ashamed of me. And if I don't want the Lord to be ashamed of me, then I may need to make sure that I'm not ashamed of Him now. I don't need to let any kind of shame or embarrassment keep me from obeying the Lord. I need to obey the Lord, even if it causes me some kind of discomfort in that sort of way. See, there's lots of things that might make obeying the Lord more difficult. Whether it's my feelings, my mood, my preferences, whether it's my failure to understand every reason, every motive that God might have had, or whether it's embarrassment or whatever it might be. Those things might hinder me from serving God, but I need to fight against those urges. I need to make sure that I obey God even when it's hard to obey. Because if I live my life only making the easy choices, I'm not going to make it to heaven. Making it to heaven is going to require that difficult choice to put self to death and live for the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our lives. Well, I hope that's the life that you're living, because it's the only life worth living.